In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor takes listeners on a quest for wild animals close to home.
This past week, the Boy Scout at my house was finishing up a few last requirements to earn the rank of second class before heading off to Camp Drake with his troop. It took only a little creativity for me to figure out how I could help him and at the same time accomplish some of my own work. Rank requirement number 5 for second class scout reads as follows. Identify or show evidence of at least 10 kinds of wild animals, birds, mammals, reptiles, fish, or mollusks found in your community. Together, the scout and I decide he could fulfill this requirement by an outing in our own neighborhood in southwest Champaign with bikes for transportation. We wear river sandals on the chance we might need to wade and carry just a few tools for making and recording observations, binoculars, a camera, a pencil, and a 3x5 notebook. We ride first to a nearby retention pond where we had come across the remains of a crayfish on the sidewalk the evening before. They're still there, a claw, the hard exoskeleton of the head and thorax, and a bit of tail. Identifying crayfish to species can be quite complex and requires body parts we don't have, so we just leave this one at crayfish. Nearby, a Canada goose honks, so we count it, too. As we continue riding, we hear the high-pitched trill of an American toad and head in its direction. To my ears, it sounds a long way off, but the scout suggests we check a nearby fountain. Sure enough, the toad calls again as we approach, and we're able to find it by moving a few rocks around. Our next and saddest find is the upside-down body of a painted turtle that has been killed by a car in the street. Painted turtles are adaptable enough to live in highly developed landscapes, but they have no defense against drivers who are too distracted or too mean to avoid running over them. At our next stop, a couple of ponds where willows and other vegetation have been allowed to grow up, red-winged blackbirds dominate the scene. They're disturbed because we're close to their nests and keep up a steady racket until we move on. Just over an embankment, the copper slough is running high and muddy from the rains of the night before, so there will be no fish or mollusks observed this day. But 3 mallard bachelors loaf on the opposite bank, and a green heron stalking the edge of the stream takes flight as we approach. On the wire-bound rock used to stabilize the creek bank, we see a northern water snake sunning, our first live reptile. Better still, after a pause, we realize we're seeing 2 snakes, partly intertwined, both of them 18 to 24 inches long. The most exciting moment of our excursion occurs when the scout turns and spots a great blue heron flying behind us. The enthusiasm in his shout tells me our quest has been a success far beyond our tally of species. Wild animal number 10 is an American robin. We have passed many since starting out, but it counts only after the scout makes a note of one as we head home.
Rob Cantor is the senior writer with the Environmental Change Institute at the University of Illinois. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the University of Illinois Department of Religion.